Can you hear me now? We're going to look at the book of Galatians, if y'all want to open there. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day and grateful for the opportunity to be together. And thank you for the body of believers here, Father. I just pray that the words of this message would be uplifting to them, Father, that they would help them to understand you more, Father, and that they would have a better appreciation for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father. And we pray for those young people that are in camp and for the camps that are coming up. We just pray for those young people that don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father. We pray that you would give them ears to hear as the gospel is presented, Father. We just praise you for your son and thank you for this time again together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The elders felt like they give me another chance, so I'm going to give you another book. So we're going to look at the book of Galatians. I looked back at the history and on our website, and if it's current, I didn't see Galatians preach, so I'm hoping that I'm not touching on anybody else's preaching, but that'll be fine because y'all need to hear it twice if it is. Before we get started with Galatians, I had to sort of look and get a little information about what was going on. It seems that in a lot of instances, Paul was talking to when he was writing his different books, it seemed like a lot of the other churches were giving him some pretty good feedback, but when it came to the Galatians, there was a problem. Let's start by looking at what was going on in Galatia. He had gone there on a missionary trip, and he had witnessed many people there, and many had accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and churches had started to get established. Well, Paul left to move on for the ministry. Well, upon leaving, I don't know if the false teachers were standing at the gate when they saw him leave out, but they hit the door and came in and started saying, "Well, hang on a minute, this Paul fella, he don't really know what he's talking about. He's leaving something out of the gospel. You're supposed to be doing something. You're supposed to be working on the circumcision. You're supposed to be keeping the law and ordinances." And the same thing that you hear throughout a lot of times is for some reason they just can't seem to shake that legalism that you have to be keeping the law, and because for some reason that's going to make the salvation sure. But as we'll see, that is not the way that salvation is sure. So let's start by reading. I'm just going to read tidbits and talk about it as I go through. So we start with verse 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." So Paul hit the ground running, and he says, "Look, I have authority to give this message to you. This authority was not given to me by some guy down the road. There wasn't a council that appointed me apostle. I didn't go to college down at some theological seminary and was ordained to be an apostle. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that has appointed me to the position that I'm at." So it's really sad that he has to do this, but he set off to start with and says, "Look, this is where my authority comes from. It comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no man involved with that." But the false teachers, they were in full force, and he had to put his position of authority out there so they knew where he was coming from, that he wasn't just some guy told him, "Hey, go down there and tell them this." No, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that was guiding his message. And he says in verse 2, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." So he's wanting all these brethren that are with him. He's preaching also from they are agreeing with Paul in this message that he's giving them. And so, you know, they're all agreeing with him. They need to listen to the whole body and start agreeing with him as well. But he said, it's interesting in here, it says, unto the churches of Galatia. Now, in a lot of the other passages that Paul discussed, he says he would refer to the believers at that church as the church of God. Or he would say the saints at this church. Or the faithful in Jesus Christ. Well, he didn't say that here. He just said the churches of Galatia. So it was just blunt. He was stern. He was getting ready to rebuke them. And he wasn't going to give him any praise for what was going on in Galatia. He was getting ready to rebuke them for what was going on. And in verse 3 it says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now Paul wants the Galatians to have this grace and peace that he's talking about here. He's saying grace be to you and peace from God the Father. But the problem is they're not going to have that grace and they're not going to have that peace with this type of legalistic, deeds working salvation that these false teachers are putting in people's, minds. They're not going to have that peace. Because that peace can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. This is the message. This is the gospel. He is clearly reminding them what the true faith is about. That is, it is a faith that comes from God and not man. Now, I don't know if y'all listen to Rich Mullins. But Rich Mullins has a song and it's called Creed. And during the song it has the Apostles' Creed listed in parts of the song. But then it gets to the chorus and it says, I believe what I believe is what makes me what I am. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man. The gospel was not created by a man. It was created by God. And Paul is just hammering this into their head because he wants them to understand that these false teacher guys, they have no authority to be saying the things they're saying. God's the one that made the plan, not these false preachers, teachers. And it says here in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know, the false teachers were getting the job done. These people were taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and they were following the false teachers. They were walking away from Christ for another gospel. But it was not the true gospel. It was a man-made gospel that says that Christ is not enough. There has to be more to it than just faith. But that's the way we are. That's the way we're geared. We can't have it be something simple. Man always thinks that with God it has to be really complex and we got to do this. We got to do these little nitpicky things. So, you know, it's just not enough to believe in Christ. There's got to be more to it. So let's make up some things to try to make it to God. But God didn't say to do any of those things. These are just things some fellows said to do to try to appease God. And the truth is, it's not the true gospel. It says, how quickly are we to dismiss God and come up with a plan of our own? But God is the one in control of eternity. So God is in control of eternity. Don't you think that His plan would be the best for having eternal life? His plan will be the best. Not something we made up. Not something that some council somewhere made up. Not some ordination of pastors or whoever. But God. He's the one that made this plan of salvation. through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Lehman Strauss, he used to remind us that the gospel is a simple gospel. It's a simple gospel. God made it simple for everyone. And you know, it's really sad because I'm trying to remember the verse where it says that to confound the wise. I mean, it's so simple, the wise gloss over it and go, oh, that's nothing. You know, there's nothing to that. It's too simple. It can't be that simple. And then that's what makes the wise man a fool, because he chooses to ignore the simple truth that God has given him. Okay. Said it one time. But though we or angels from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul is making it clear that anyone, including himself and the angels from heaven, if they deviate away from the word, will be accursed. And it's interesting here where it says the angels from heaven. It specifically says that because when I was reading through some of the material, it was talking about if it was an angel of God, he wouldn't be giving you a messed up message. It would be from God and it would be clear. But these are angels from heaven, which would lead me to believe that they are possibly the demons that came from heaven. And they're looking, those would be the ones that are looking to try to sway you away from Christ's plan of salvation. So we've got to be careful of those that would twist the truth of the gospel and make it another gospel that's not the true gospel. And so you're probably thinking, well, you know, why do we need to hear this story, this message from the gospel? Because, you know, we're here, you know, 2,000 some years later, and we, you know, we know the plan of salvation. We know Christ. And, you know, we shouldn't have any problems with this. But you know what? I bet the Galatians thought they had it together to start with. I bet they were like, oh, yeah, we got this gospel down. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other. We're not going to be swayed. And sure enough, they were swayed by another. And so we have to be on our guard that we're not led away just like the Galatians were. And as I said earlier, we have it clear that salvation is only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for full atonement of our sins. That's not faith in Jesus Christ plus circumcision, plus putting money in the plate, plus my family is Christians, we're going to count these beads before we pray. We're going to go pray in a certain direction. I mean, the list could go on and on of what man has tried to pull to try to divert people from the truth and trusting in those things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, they're led away on these other things that have no meaning. But it's also one thing that I think that's why God had instituted the Lord's Supper. Because we constantly, every Sunday, we're revisiting the cross. We are reminded of what our salvation is based on. And it's not based on any things. But it's based on the Lord Jesus Christ and that death that he had on the cross of Calvary and his resurrection. And those things are what matter. and we have to constantly be reminded of it. And you think of the Old Testament, in when Israel was down in the down the mountain, and Moses was up on the mountain, and they were just real quick to say, "Hey, you know, we need something here. We're missing something. So, hey, everybody, get your earrings together, and we're gonna go make us this fake cow." Okay, okay. They, even though they had just seen God's hand in real life save them from Egypt, you know, but and or heard the stories of the freedom they received from Egypt through the God, and about the crossing of the sea, and about the different plagues that came, and how God used those things to communicate to Pharaoh to let them go. And then God ended up destroying the army and guided them to where they were. And then for some reason, they just, that stuff, they forgot it. And of course, that is just the theme throughout a lot of the scripture. You know, we're with God and we forget Him. And we're with God and forget Him. And so then, that's why God says, what the Lord Jesus Christ said, "This do in remembrance of me." Because we need to be constantly reminded, because the world wants us to constantly forget everything that He has done for us. It says, "Or do I now persuade men, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul is explaining that he's not here to please men. He's not here to make them happy. I mean, it would be a lot easier for him to go, "Okay, go ahead and do the law. Go ahead and do that. That's fine. I'm gonna continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And y'all just go on and believe in the law. And that's fine. And we'll see who's in heaven in eternity." You know, he could have done that. But he was serving God, and he wanted to witness to them. He wanted to teach them that the direction that they were going to was not going to be pleasing to God. And if another thing is that men can't stand this idea of there only being one way to God. And you know, amongst a variety of religions, there's some sort of man way, and we've been talking about this, and I told you, Paul's nailing it. He is nailing it to the Galatians. Y'all got to get this through your thick skull, that the laws and the rules and stuff like that that y'all are keeping, that's not it. That's not it. Christ is it. He is the way. And by being a servant to Christ alone, in man's eyes, he was condemning himself. They thought, well, you know, he's just following the faith of Christ, and he's not keeping the law, so he's condemned. He's going to go to hell. So they didn't give him any hope. This is going fast, y'all. And the rest of the passage, Paul continues to have to argue his defense for his message. And in 11 and 12 it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he's saying it again. I didn't get it from man, I got it from Christ. There's no counsel. Once again, there's no ordination process. There's no, you know, anybody appointing me to be an apostle except the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave him the message. And what Paul is saying is, that's where the power is. That's where the power in the message is. Because it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because it's from Fred down the road. It's from the Lord. And so, he goes on and he says, "For ye have heard of my conversations in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Now this is about the, when I looked at this, I was like, man, this is just weird to think of it this way, but if there was anybody that was going to put the law in the gospel according to tradition and according to being a Jew, it would have been Paul. Paul would have said, because what he learned all his life, where he was, I mean, he was an assassin of Christians. I mean, everything about him was the law. And then all of a sudden people are going, that's that same Paul that used to be the law. Kill those Christians. Follow the law. They don't know what they're talking about. And now, the one that probably would have put the plan of salvation lined up with a list of rules, he's preaching the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's just hard to understand that. He was raised a Jew. Why was the gospel that Paul preached exclude the law? Because it came from God through Jesus Christ. You know, God made the recipe of salvation. He made that recipe, not the Jews and not the Jewish traditions. God did. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathens. So since the day Paul was born, and it's hard to understand this concept, but since the day he was born, the plan for his life was to preach to the heathens. Even when he was persecuting the Christians, the plan for Paul was to witness to the heathens, to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. Ever since he was born. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So, once he was converted on the road, he didn't go over to Peter's house, and Peter started having Sunday school lessons. And so they hung out for months and months and months and months. And Paul learned all about the gospel. And then he went out and preached. That's not how it happened. He immediately started preaching to other people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you know that the salvation that he received on the road to Damascus was one of salvation through Jesus Christ. It wasn't about the law. So he knew what it was about. He knew here in his heart what the salvation was about. About trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord brother. Now the thing which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. So what he's saying here is that it was 3 years later that he finally came to Jerusalem. So he'd been going around preaching the gospel of faith to everybody. And now, 3 years later, he comes back to Jerusalem. I'm pretty sure this gospel that Paul was preaching was sort of founded by then. I'm pretty sure that with the gospel that he was presenting to everyone, it had a foundation. So, he wasn't coming down there to meet with Peter and James to say, you know, hey, can you guys tell me some more doctrine stuff that I can go preach to people. Now, he wasn't doing that. He was going over there to meet with Peter and say, you're my brother in Christ. I want to fellowship with you. He wasn't coming over there to get a Sunday school lesson and to learn more about the gospel. He was coming to fellowship with Peter and James. And almost as in a common brotherhood type, on the same level type of fellowship that was going on there. And we're probably going to end early. So we're probably might have time for a song or two, Dave, or something like that. Okay. If it's possible, I don't know. Afterward, I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he was, which persecuted us in times past, now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So he went to Syria and Cilicia, and he was talking to all these people, but they didn't know him. They didn't know, hey, that guy's Paul right yonder. They didn't know him. They just said, you know, I've heard of that fellow right there. That fellow's the one that got he was saved by God on the road. Now, you don't hear them saying, well, you know, there's that guy right there. He's been circumcised, and he keeps the law. And you don't hear that. That ain't what they're thinking about, Paul. They're thinking, this man's being changed. The day he was on the road and he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he was changed. It wasn't anything about the law. And you know, these people didn't glorify him because he was keeping the law. They were glorifying God. I'm sorry, I may not have said that right. They were glorifying God because he had been changed. Not because he was keeping the law. And because of that, they were glorifying God. Now, if you're saved and you're here, which I think that's pretty much everyone, but then again, we don't know. God knows. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. It says, guard yourself against those that would lead you away in a salvation of law and deeds. Stay strong in salvation of faith in Christ. That's what we need to do. And some people, I'm trying to remember, there was a quote that I read, and it discussed that salvation is not a byproduct of works. Salvation, but works is a byproduct of salvation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't do works because we're trying to earn something. And I know we talk about getting crowns and nice things like that when we get to heaven, and that's nice. But that shouldn't be our drive. Our drive should be to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we get there, we'll be surprised with what he presents us with. That should be our driving force, is to live out that salvation of faith in Christ. And then, because of that salvation and faith, then we go out and do the works that need to be done. And then for unsaved people, it is clear that no law is needed to be kept to attain salvation. But salvation is through faith in Christ. It is a simple gospel. That's it. A simple gospel. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And it's up to you to make that choice. So, that is the end of my message tonight. So I pray that that you have gained something tonight.